No comments on recommendation two. Recommendation three. Running into page 10 now. The CBO, have you got any comments? You can, you know, comment at any time as well. Four.
Never want to make assumptions. What do we mean by a robust financial and safe delivery systems management? Recommendation three.
Well, I probably understand you mean bridge words, but exactly what it says. Mean that more active, more clear, more sort of preemptive. Based in fact on earlier observation and the visibility of the committee. Is that more or less what you meant? Yeah. Okay, five.
Chairperson, I agree with the process. I do think that simply there was some kind of delay because I got the report for the National Treasury, but the SAS report I don't seem to have got, but I've read it anyway, but I don't know if there's a glitch, but I'll check with the table regarding my email address, but I have read it, thanks, Chair.
Do you have any comments you want to
have? Yes, but we'll get to them, we haven't got further down the...
Oh, okay, yeah. How do we go to the ones you already know you want to take? How about that?
Okay.
Which one?
This you want, it's just on number 11 and number 14. On number 11, I think I'll flesh it out a little bit because the issue of vacant posts obviously is now very hot because, you know, if there's this intention that they're going to get frozen or something, now I certainly don't think that's been wise for staff to pay because they have a skills shortage and in that field that's quite technical. So I think we should be more robust and say that vacancies, although they haven't been filled, is under expenditure, but they must be filled. And I think we must make sure that they do. Maybe other parts of the civil service can be filled out, but certainly I don't think status A should be impacted in any way. And then on number 4...
I don't see a problem with that. Does anybody have a problem with it? Can you just word it and send it to Bridget? Okay, you've got Bridget's email. What's up to Alan, you manage everything. Okay, so you're agreeing on that,
yeah,
right?
Thank you.
I don't like anything that's not supposed to be there, right?
No, I'm not going to. I'll show you. We'll see it anyway. And then on number 14... I just wanted to reflect on that because it's this issue about where does static actually fit in. Now, there was, if I remember correctly, when Minister Mangal was moved from Treasury, he went to perform the presidency, and then he was obviously doing a lot of work on the NDP. And Stats SA then kind of followed in a way, because I think they were doing a lot of statistical work, etc., but they needed an oversight place and remained on finance. But I think that we've moved on from there. So perhaps the situation has changed, and that Stats SA again should actually fall under the Minister of Finance again. I think that was the reason why it happened that way, unless there was concern that the Minister might in some way try to influence Stats SA to fiddle with the numbers. But I mean, that's not something that we are worried about in particular. So I think that perhaps you could be a bit robust in our recommendation and say that Stats SA, my view, I believe, it should fall under finance and that we will be able to provide effective oversight, as we have been doing. Thanks, Jared.
I also raise the robust. It's a difference. You mean saying it should be under the latter, meaning DPNE. Let us raise one practical issue. Firstly, I remember some years ago, but maybe, you know, you never know what went. We were told parliamentary committees, I don't know if they're cannot prescribe to the executive how they must structure the cabinet. We can't say, we can say a little bit of committee people, we should have a ministry of what, let's say, gay and lesbians, right? To say it, but we can't recommend it as a, like, let's say, why haven't you done it? So, similarly, I don't think, you see, we have these issues when local governments, say local governments, of the overlap. And then we had made a recommendation, and then Mukhamati and them came back to us and said, and then we went to Parliament for it. And then four Parliament lawyers finished in one raising the some committee. He said, these things we can't do, one of the three or four things. So that was one of them. So why we put this here is because two things. One, like, it is now a committee that oversees Chief Adele's portfolio, right? There's actually a committee. And so it won't be as if they went there, they would be like hanging in the air. Secondly, surely that is utterly crucial to planning and development. You know? And it just seems to us, and thirdly, well, let me switch this off. Should it remain in Treasury or should it go to DPNE? Yes?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, in one of my deliberate issues, thinking of Parliament, I hope that Honourable George was still part of this team. We agreed that the issue of locating such a within National Treasury causes our department not to take statistical reports that are generated by Securus. And as a result, it becomes a finance issue. And those are the methods that all of us know how transversal is the statistics in terms of the operation of all the departments. You know? So I think since if you look at the object of establishing this department, the planning and monitoring department, the object of the department is to ensure that there's coordination within the department. So I think, of course, if we are to make a recommendation, I think this is the most appropriate recommendation to make. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Honourable members, I just wanted to check with the committee this recommendation 11. I've just tried to word how it could be phrased, and I just want to run it by the whole committee maybe. I think the first part will just remain as it is, and then the second part could read that the vacancy rate in space per se relate to highly skilled critical positions that are very important to policy and economic development. Therefore, in informing policy and economic development, therefore it is imperative that the vacancies in space per se in particular are filled. That is.
No, just reserve our position. It's a normal story. It's an old-fashioned story.
Come on, turn off the mic.
That was off the mic. No minute, baby. PMG, when I hit the light off there, you can see nothing. Order. Call the usher in to remove him. Okay, so now, let me get this clear. I want the vote, or we can just delay this for tomorrow. What do people want to do? David? Sorry? I'm cool, I'll leave you whatever you want.
Okay. Reserve your position.
Right. Reserve your position, that's a separate matter. But what I think is, do you want to put on this thing or not? I think we should vote now, I'll let you know the top. Is that okay, David? No? Okay. Right, fine. So, we agree with the online, you will check the remember the email, correct? And each time you send them an email of, I don't know whether always, but when it comes to voting, must SMS will say, email say, on the right? So, then I'll put it, now, if there any comment changes beyond you, Reddit, and maybe others too, on the sections before that, are there any comments outside of the committee where you've seen things that you feel are inaccurate, grammatically suspect, or typographically suspect? It's fine. Okay. Yeah, I read it last night. It's fine. Okay. Obviously, we do a little editing. I mean, like the sentences. I mean, each time that you look up on T-E-R-C-E-H. I mean, this is a fine. They save space. Forget about sentences. We call it back. Okay, the next one we're not going to put on. Let me show this one now. People will have more time to discuss. But in the meanwhile, oh, by the way, you'll be interested to know, I read with the chip book. This thing about having public hearings on the fiscal framework on a Tuesday and expecting to have the debate on the Thursday, possibly with a relief, but then, you know, have to vote on the thing within 48 hours. It doesn't give people enough time. And people only got this thing yesterday, and really, we can't vote on it now. But in the meanwhile, why don't we get a sense of where we are on each of the recommendations, starting with 7.1. When did we give people enough time to read it? Right? So, I mean, we'll keep on gap. Why don't we just do this, colleagues? We've got, how many pages is this? About 3 pages. Why don't we give ourselves 20 minutes or so to read the whole thing? How about that? Thank you.
Are we okay? 7-1. Any comment? 7-2. Take a lady.
Thank you, Chair. On 7-1, we are making recommendations for the last part of the recommendation. We're saying National Treasury need to provide the House a detailed report on interventions to rectify errors highlighted by the Inspector General, but to immediately open it. I suggest that you must give them time so that you can check and monitor if they comply. If you allow me to share also on 7.2,
we'll come there in a moment. Just on 7.1. I think that's correct, actually. We can put the data study. Rather than saying what a briefing on each of these issues, because then we have to ask, did we get the briefing? We ask the delegates for it, but we don't put it in our program. That's all I'm alerting members to. Having said that, I think what Kilani said about Kandi is said can be done, right? Religious practice and religion means. But to say the report has a certain deadline for it. Good. Anything else, Makosi? Oh, yeah, George Verena.
I'm in agreement with you. I just wanted to just raise a small technical question. I think probably we need to complete the number of our recommendations pages than we do. Because these issues under performance information are not necessarily related. Probably the first one, because the first one deals with national treasury, its name is 7.3.1. Then the second one, because it deals with SARS, you know, and so forth. I just thought that to make it easier for reference purposes as well.
Actually, it's interesting. I also felt the same. But I just decided it's too much of a work present, right? Because I have to look at it. No, no, you know, because look at how it is. Well, we can all contribute. Remember, it's not the chair. What I'm saying is, if you look at the report itself, it covers national treasury and the entities, right? Mm-hmm. Strictly speaking, we should put the recommendation specific to the entity, whether it's national treasury or any other entity. Why I decided to forego that personally is because I noticed that some of the things are cross-cutting. In other words, what you have done, it's a method, it's systematic. It's not ideal. I agree with Makosi, but I also agree with you. In other words, what she has done as a draft, which actually makes sense to me, she featured the cross-cutting theme. So some of the things apply, yeah. Some of the things apply to national treasury alone. Some apply to, The way out maybe is to do a table at the end, right? Which then says, these are the recommendations for national treasury. So it covers the value use and also covers my question. Or the alternative, if this is a view of the committee as a whole or majority, is that we do it the way Makosi is saying. Personally, I think something we can look for to next year. But you can also look at the other way of dealing with these things. These are the specific issues dealing with each of them, and these are the cross-cutting things. So some of them are very cross-cutting.
Sure.
Mm.
I think they are complicating the thematic approach is correct. It's only the numbering that I am saying maybe let's improve on it. The thematic approach is correct. Like, for example, you are dealing on 7.3, they are dealing with performance information. That's absolutely correct.
Right.
But I'm saying rather than number each of these parameters.
You mean the sub-numbering?
Sub-numbering,
oh,
yes.
Oh, I
see. That makes it easier to
read.
Oh, I
see.
To isolate
the information.
Okay,
agree. I was trying to start with number. All right, good. We can break it up. Good. Okay. Then on 7.1, you had something to say, John.
Thank you. On the second paragraph, it made reference to the, which is on the second sentence, the quality of the financial statements are even better than they currently are. Now, I think perhaps it's a bit heavy. We should make changes to say that the financial statements continually improve. Because if you're saying are even better than they currently are, well, like, you know, it just doesn't make sense. I think we should rather just say so that we continually improve, which gets better over time.
Why the standards of safety, what happened in the civil service? I thought Bridget, let me be frank about my own opinion, right? I'm not saying it's the committee's opinion. You are right in many of the things you say when you critique the nationalization. However, one also has to recognize we're not in Sweden or Germany. And in an evolving democracy, and by the standards of what happens here, Treasury is leaps ahead, let me tell you. So it comes across as pretty tough. When you think also that we win world global awards, if we do a lot of conversation, there are very few other sectors in this country who do. So it's a wording you have, but sometimes you're a bit too tough. But I agree with you, except that we're an evolving democracy, and given the time and so on. I think you are right, John. Agree. Okay. 7.2. Yeah, Hikileri?
Yeah, on 7.2, the first paragraph, on line number 6, I think instead of saying the committee is strongly feeling, we need to say the committee recommends. But that's a strong feeling. And on the last paragraph, we're saying, and this performance information should be provided to the committee periodically. I think periodically it should also give direction as to how often if you say quarterly or time frame, so that you can check on what you result on first.
I think to say recommend is too strong a word. We can say believe, but to recommend that an including should be done to read.
What is the intention? If you just want to express the belief or a feeling and you expect no action, this is why I think I agree with you. It is that maybe you need to,
then the sentence has to change, because you can't say the committee recommends that the national entity should be exempted. You can't recommend that. That's something that's objectively necessary. It's not for the committee to recommend. Expects, that they must be exemplary or believe, but you can't say recommend. Then the sentence has to change. Okay, so you expect to settle. Okay, then privacy was deliberately put in there for the very reason that I raised earlier. As long as members are aware, once you start putting quarterly reports in, then you have to read them and we have to discuss them. Periodically means we will decide how often, based on our program. In fact, Richard had, I think originally something like that, I'll change that to periodically. Because I'm a bit concerned about us taking on things that we cannot deliver on. And I really think we've got too much on our program as a team. But if you want to do it as quarterly, I'm fine as long as the consequences are, as a chair, my responsibility to call up then on Fridays and whenever else, to say, look, we agreed quarterly, now the last quarter we haven't done it. If you look at the budget report, as I said, if you look at the NCDP, the load we have got is huge. Periodically gives us consistency, but it doesn't set out how consistency is, a 3 month, 6 month phase or whatever. That is something we can shape with the program. But if the majority went quarterly, fine, as long as it's understood, there is consequences for us. Right, timely and then delayed.
Sure. We need to decide what we want to do. If we want more about the workload than resolving the challenges in those issues, then we need to decide what we want to achieve. You see, if we wait until the end of the fiscal year to look only at the annual report, and when we pick up the problem, we don't bring mitigating factors to deal with the challenges before the end of the fiscal year, then we can as well just sit here and eat yogurt and do nothing.
I was going to point out, but can I just say something?
Can I finish?
No, you can't, because you're dealing with a red herring. We've agreed to do quarterly reports. We decided, I'm ruling, let's not have this issue. We've agreed to have quarterly reports. Nowhere in the use of the word periodically, nowhere in the use of the word periodically does it imply we will sit back and do nothing. We've already agreed in previous reports that we will deal with quarterly. So if you've got something else to say, fine. Do you want to put in quarterly? Fine. That's what it is. But it's not correct to say that therefore, if you have the word periodically, therefore it's closed, that we're going to do nothing. We already agreed we're going to have quarterly reports. You will recall. Particularly, let's change quarterly. You want it, right?
No, Chair, it's not a matter of want or not. I was just making an example that we need to put something that is going to also put us in a pressure for us to monitor. I also think, Chairperson, that we should not be afraid to commit ourselves.
Right, okay.
That will help us.
Performance information 7.3. Nothing there. Sorry, you want to?
I'm sorry, I'm coming back with the same thing. We are on paragraph number 2. We are saying a concern regarding SARS was that it had amended its APP, which had signed off in December without any engagement with the legislature, which is very, very hard. But going now to paragraph number 2, we say this can be done, now talking about the statement, we say this can be done in the form of a presentation to committee. I think I'm going back to what I said, Chair, that we leave things open and that, and it can make work difficult for us. I don't want to bend my fingers again and talk to make an example. I'll request members to come up with time frame.
Would it be reasonable to say that depends when we want to meet, maybe the end of January, so we come in a bit earlier and then deal with these issues. Is that okay? End of January?
Yeah. You had made a suggestion earlier on that we should rather be 24 reports, so that it gives us time to, instead of presentations, and probably we can then put that thing against that report by when that report should come. Then we can always see how best we can keep it in our sector.
Okay, whatever the people want.
Thanks, Chair. I think with regard to the appropriation statement, the main thing with staff is that when you look at the National Treasury, they report quarterly on their expenditure, but SARS they don't report on SARS and one of their other entities, because they don't get the information for SARS. And then also in the annual report, SARS didn't have their appropriation statement, so you can't really gauge how they've been spending throughout the financial year. Maybe here, instead of, maybe this can be done in the form of a presentation to the committee. Perhaps one of the things would be that when Treasury comes to brief the committee on a quarterly basis, then SARS comes too. Because if they don't see the information to Treasury, then even when we get reports, we don't see what SARS, how SARS is performing.
All right, so what do members feel? I don't have a view on this matter. Whatever the majority said, what do you want?
Is it acceptable that some entity to National Treasury doesn't give information to Treasury? Is it acceptable? Is it legal what they're doing?
Yes, the entities don't report, but the Section 32 reports, the PMA, when Section 32 it relates to national and provincial departments only. And then the MSMA relates to municipalities. But when it comes to entities, if the information is not there, then it's not reported on. SARS, I think their program is Program 9. If the information is not there, Program 9 in National Treasury will be empty. So...
Sorry, Chicky Lady, you're saying that?
Chair, I was just asking the legality of what is happening. If Program 9 is empty and in terms of reporting, but in the APP, in terms of the planning, their budget is there, how do they then count on what they have allocated? Because I don't think they can just give money to an institution and that institution does not, you know, come and account on how they spend the money. I don't know, I'm just asking, but from my point of view, I don't see that working.
Look, what are we wanting to put in here, though? Are you suggesting, if I understand the Bridget, you're saying we're going to hold Treasury for quarterly reports. At the same time, we call in staff, right? Then in that case, what we do with the wording? We just say something to that effect, that the committee has agreed to call in Treasury with quarterly reports at the same time trial should.
I'm thinking after the first sentence, because the first sentence says SARS should provide the committee with appropriation statements and to indicate how they manage the budget, maybe to make it more make it less open. Just to say that SARS should
report quarterly with National Treasury.
Yes.
Okay, is that agreeable, Zigley? is that agreeable, the proposal from Bridget?
The second sentence, just to change the second sentence to say that instead of this can be done in the form of a presentation to the committee, just to say that SARS should report to the committee at the same time, quarterly, at the same time as Native Nations.
That's fine. Okay, that covers that. There's a thing I don't understand, Bridget. You keep using the word house, right? Do they report to the house or they report to the committee? What do you mean report to the house? Is it the house considered? Oh, that's just a technical term, because obviously they have to report to the speaker, and then the speaker refers it to the relevant committee. So that's why I use them at house. Okay, the second thing that I asked you, and you didn't give clarity on, and I think now that we've gotten the report, we have to be maybe more clear, if not altogether clear. What exactly is the situation? You mean a department APP has to be approved by the legislature? I didn't know that. And then if they change, they must come back to the legislature.
Is that in the Money Bill Act? National Treasury said they don't have to. But then the problem, what SARS was here 2 weeks ago, was that their APD had been changed on the 13th of December, and it looked, the targets looked totally different from what was in the annual report. And SARS itself had used the original APD with only a note that please note that the ATP has changed, which is a problem, because if they report on their amended ATP with their annual report, but they refer to the original ATP but don't give a copy of the amended ATP, then it becomes a problem because the committee has never seen the amended ATP.
The question is, what I want to ask you, I understand, and I think you made it very clear in your report. The question is, is it, it's a simple, straightforward question, it's a legal one, I don't know, Alan, whether you can help us as well, both of you or CDO, I don't know. Does APP have to be approved by the legislature, right? But if so, in terms of what law or rule? Secondly, if the APP is changed, then do they have to come back to the legislature and get it adopted? Because use the word adopted. It means re-adopted. I don't think they get to adopt the APP. And brings it to Parliament and says, this is what we're seeking to do, and measure out against this in our annual report. But I didn't know, I'm just asking, you may be right, all I want to know is this in the Money Bills Act? Because the wording there is that they, you know, I softened the wording because I thought we're not clear. So the question to you is simple. In terms of what rule of law are we as a legislature required to adopt, is the word you use, and APP?
They're supposed to be tabled according to the PSMA, strategic plans and APPs. But in terms of amendments, the National Treasury said if the minister adopts it, then it's fine. It doesn't have to come to the legislature.
No, but I'm asking a more fundamental question. Do we as Parliament adopt, like we adopt a bill?
Not adopt, we table them.
They table them is just for you to look at and give your opinion.
Yes.
But the word adopt will be wrong.
Okay.
We need to change the wording.
Change the
word. Maybe show it to a lawyer, because in your original draft you had adopt. I wasn't sure, and I thought we not sure. But what is the fact? As I understand it, can people help it? They table the APP, right? We look at the APP, but we don't adopt it. We may offer our views on the APP and say, look, we think its targets are too modest or too ambitious, right? But we don't adopt it. Therefore, they are not required to bring the APP back to us for consideration, except to table the changes. Isn't that correct? I don't know. I'm asking for advice here. Is it? Why do we have to adopt the changes if we can't adopt the original? Sorry, did you let
Please, I can remember, last time when we had interactions, I asked this question, that if there's changes, amendments, in terms of the APP, what is happening? And I was asking this out of experience that one has with the legislature. The APP informs the budget, and we go to the committee with the same. The committee will engage and agree and go to the House for formal adoption. We do adopt. But the House adopt, according to my understanding, adopt after the committee has engaged the APP.
But we had, in my previous experience, had problems where during the course of the financial year, we had to make amendments, changes. And when you are going to be assessed in terms of the comments, obviously they are going to, you know, use the APP. And there was an argument to say, there is some more, maybe we need to look for that, what is it, the legal term that you usually use. Whatever regulation that is there, that says we must inform the house, and the house, we inform the house through the chairperson of the committee also. Yes, that's how we did it, because you are going to be held accountable that you have not performed according to this. And that's
it. Vivian, that's what you said, I recall. But when we asked them whether we do it here, I mean, here, can you help us? Have you actually, we didn't do it this year, for that example, Kiletic. We considered the APP and we considered the budget report, but we didn't adopt it. We never moved and seconded and took it to the House. If that were the case, 35 committees will go to the House with it. Here they will done it like that. We don't do it. Maybe you are right, and maybe that's what we should do in terms of the law, right? But maybe it's possible in the legislature because we're smaller. So I really think this matter we should get some clarity on. Bridget, instead of us debating these things, can you speak to Advocate Jenkins? Just find out, and then we will reword this today, and we will come back to you in the morning with the formulation there. Okay? Mr. Simon, you can help us on this issue.
Thank you, Chair. My experience as well, I don't think the House, the legislature will adopt the annual investment plan because it's an executive document which explains how they intend to attain the plans. Because what they also say, the executives say, if they make changes to it, they make the legislature aware of the changes that they've made so that whenever they hold them to account, they don't necessarily have to use the old document. I mean, then the issue could be that they made the legislature aware of the changes they've made to the document, so they're not necessarily to adopt the influence plan. But it's submitted, but the minister or the MEC will be the one who sign off and the DG as well, and it goes to the legislature.
My sense is that I don't know enough to say what the law says, but my sense is it would be including on the executive terrain actually. If the parliament were to adopt a plan and then we can make recommendations on it or we can make proposals to amend it, but ultimately it's an executive decision. I also know this because I served, when I was deputy minister, I was delegated this stuff. And we never ever submitted to the COCTA committee adoption. And we did change. Carol and I did change. And I think Richard Perloy and I also might have changed, I can't remember. But with Carol I agreed here, I was responsible for delegation. We've never actually had that. Particularly, what you're saying may well be the way to go, I don't know. But can you just clarify simply and then reword it so you have a look at it tomorrow, right? We'll do all the changes in tracking so we don't go through everything again and you see what changes we've made. Alright, so Bridget, you draft the second one, I suppose, quarterly. Okay. Basically, rate 7.4. Yeah, David?
It's well presented, and I agree with the recommendations that there should be a recruitment plan to the committee. My point is on urgency, and we look at the chief procurement officer that resulted in 62 per being created, and that these vacancies is delayed due to internal processes. We know the importance of the procurement office, and the appointment is necessary to stop the corruption of 30 billion per year. And I was hoping that we can have, in terms of the recruitment plan, set a timeline. If necessary, or perhaps just emphasize the urgency. I would like to go to the urgency issue.
Yes, what is the concrete proposal?
I think it would be that we that the recruitment plan to the committee will be presented with, and the committee considers this to be urgent.
So what is the deadline? Why don't we just put a deadline?
If I would say 6 months.
6 months? Wait, 3 months. What about... Because you can help us.
I want to suggest that to say before the end of the financial year, so that they can start implementing in the next financial year.
You want to put a concrete date like 1st of February so that at least we have a bit of time to look at it before the financial year begins.
It's just that I realize that recruitment is a complicated process. We have to consider the medium term budget policy statements and recommendations in terms of savings, and we have to get very competent people in that procurement office. I fully agree it's nice to work with the financial year time class. It's a good recommendation if it's feasible. Otherwise, we will have to shift it to July or something.
All right, did anybody suggest
I think we're talking about the plan.
Yeah.
So it's feasible that we can get the plan by the 1st of Feb.
Yeah,
and then start implementing the next financial year.
So do you want to before the end of the financial year or before the first of, by the 1st of February? What's your
by the 1st of February, I
think. Job creation and jobs funds? Yeah.
I think this issue of the high attrition rate.
Yeah.
Enjoyed a lot of our attention. So, I mean, I remember we even submitted that there should be a comprehensive report on the cases handled as well as outstanding cases on this matter. So I think this is something that is there in the system. So a report can be submitted, I mean, as soon as the study from YNCT, we don't need to wait for a quarter, I mean, to get this report, because this is something that is there in the system. So we just wanted to appreciate, I mean, the type of cases that are dealing with, what is leading to such a high rate of attrition rate, I mean, as a result of DC cases. So I think this is a report that can be submitted and needed.
So
are
we talking about two separate reports now, but it's the same report, and you want to bring the deadline forward?
No, it's a separate report. We're talking about
the report given by what, 1st of December?
Sorry?
The report was submitted on the 1st of December.
Yeah, any direct smartness of December is still okay, because this information is there.
One time this gets published and so on this week in the House or whatever, do we actually just debate this in the House then? Is this the biggest issue?
No.
Okay. So in that case, we're going to drop the report tomorrow. So what's the date tomorrow? We give them till the 1st of December. Is that okay? That will be 3 weeks or so. Is that okay? Or two within 40 days or something like that?
This particular information I've just said is information that is there, so this can be done within 14 days.
14 days?
Yeah.
Okay. So within 14 days. Good. Job creation and job fund. The jobs fund. Anything there? Employment equity.
Chair, may I check with those who have been there in the previous years here that was there ever a point where you received an employment equity plan by this institution, because the Employment Equity Act requires each institution to have a plan. Because if they have a plan, then we can be able to speak to that plan. But if they don't have, I think we need to recommend that they submit the plan to us.
Anybody know?
Okay. They do have a plan, but I think the plan can be submitted to the committee. I mean, for to tighten up our oversight work.
Sorry, Chair. First of all, is that for staff only or for both staff and FSC? Both.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the issue at the bottom of that paragraph regarding the Auditor General's fees, where we're saying that we think they're too high for small entities and it needs to be addressed, I think that, you know, the broader issue here about the Auditor General's fees, I think the whole, I know that when I was on that committee, the issue didn't come up, the whole issue about the funding structure of the Auditor General. Now, the reason why they charge these fees is obviously because they've got to keep the entity going. But I do get the problem that when they, when the smaller entity gets audited, they have a bill to pay. So I think instead of us saying that they're too high, I think we need to say that something maybe about that the Auditor General's fees are relatively high for small entities, and we need to consider
the funding model or something like that, because it's implying that we think it's too high, so charge them less. I don't think we say that. And also don't audit them. That would be even worse. So I don't support what we've said in the sense.
What Makosi said, right? Maybe we need to include it. Do you want to say something?
Not basically this point arose because a number of smaller entities. I don't know how do we get out of that. But your smaller entities, they are really under pressure because you know, the audit fees are very high from the auditor general. And I was just saying we probably need to find a way of how best we could address that situation. Because it became a major cost driver. I can't remember which entity we were considered very small. And it was one of the, it was beginning to define its cost drivers, and it's a major problem.
So, are you happy to
say this? Yeah, I fully support the submission made by Honorable Trust. But my only problem is that at no stage as a committee of finance did we interrogate the funding model of the agency. Auditor General, of course, at no stage did we as a finance committee have an opportunity to do that. So our focus now is bringing us into the equation now is entities that go through our oversight. And I think our focus is in a way must be country on earth, I mean, to these entities that we oversight, you know. So in another word, I'm trying to suggest here, Chair, is that we will of course say speak about the fees that are charged these small entities without looking at the broader picture of the agencies, how the agencies are funded, because our mandate directs us to oversee this entity. So we speak on behalf of these entities because we know how are they affected by these fees, you know. And I think our accommodation must be confined to these entities, because if we broaden it, let's say at some stage we are taken through, or we know the funding model of the AG, I think we are entering into a big territory, you know.
I do understand what's been said regarding the fees, but then again, we're also not considering that maybe there is something wrong with entities. Maybe they're too small. Maybe they need to put two people together. I don't know. So, you know, there's two sides to every problem. So I think, as I say, I don't agree. I agree that every entity needs to be audited. Now, if the audit fee itself is starting to get quite heavy for this entity, then perhaps it just can't sustain everything that it needs to do. I'm not saying it's the case, but I'm just saying that it's possible. So I don't know how I want to word it, but certainly I think we need to say something along the lines of that. I agree that audit fees put pressure on smaller entities. That is, I agree with everyone. But I would disagree that they're too high, because what is too high? You've got to pay for an auditor, and if you don't, then you won't get audited, or they won't do the job properly, and that would be even worse, because there would be even more money that was wasted. So, I don't know how you phrase it, but I'm sure the majority will rule anyway, but the point is, I'm just putting it on the table. Thank you.
I just thought I need to put matters into their correct perspective to Honorable George. I mean, if you look at FFC as a good example, it's one of those entities that is facing that kind of problem. And how do you shut it down? That is a constitutional structure. And you can't just shut it down or measure it with something else. We've got to be looking at these matters favorably. And I agree with Honorable Pears from Granted. Probably we need not import new issues that were never discussed, but let's rather say this matter will have to be looked at by the committee in future, because we have not really engaged on it sufficiently to make a
now it's like we are recommending powerhouse.
Yeah.
My simple suggestion is that let's remove it as a recommendation. Let's remove it as a recommendation. and allow, maybe we can make an official request to the Pew or Research Unit, just to make an assessment of the impact of the audit fees on these entities. And then you get a general picture. And then at an appropriate time, we can make a recommendation. But that's my simple suggestion.
Let's not go back and discuss something. The committee section made it clear to me, as ever I said, recommendations according to the rules of Parliament or whatever apply only to the executive. When I pointed out that flowing from those recommendations, certain tasks we have to do, I said, fine, put in a separate section. So in the last section, okay, the committee following the recommendations proposes that work be done by through the research. I think PDO is being too much to do. The research unit can do this as well, right?
I think something like that has been done, but it was for the Standing Committee on Auditor General, because they look at everything. They oversee the Auditor General, so they look
all right,
at all
why
the
we say,
so we'll do that.
Consider review work done and it has been proposed for the work to be done.
Yes.
Now, can I ask something? The Auditor General responds to the Auditor General's lexicon. Is that right? Is a committee of committee. So in other words, we also can't just do things without conferring with them. All right, fine. We'll put something there. Right? So we take it out from here. All right, is the RG?
Not the report.
In the recommendation?
Yes. Because in some of our recommendations, we've noted consents. For example, it's
that. Yeah, I don't have a problem.
Yes, we can note
the
consent.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's unhappy, I know. Because the committee is very rigid. They say recommendations are things that you are proposing that you expect the executive to act on and that you will subsequently monitor. But you know, I mean, why don't we put it under the next section and say, we note, you know, blah, blah, blah. They, you see, I don't think any official bothers to read it. It's going to stop exactly on the last recommendation. They look below, you say, following on the recommendations, the committee notes, you know, we put it there so that they get happy and read what we want. How about that? So just, you really want to argue
on point,
really?
Not sure. Maybe just to ask the committee, if I rephrase it and say that the committee believes that the Auditor General fees put pressure, as Honorable Judge has said, on smaller entities such as the FSC, then this should be considered.
What does that mean?
I don't know, it's a little bit open-ended.
I don't have a problem. Bridget's not having a battle with me. Bridget. I actually agree with you, right? It's the majority that don't agree with us, Bridget. I actually see nothing wrong with the sentence, Bridget. But now what do I do? The majority don't agree with us? Fine.
I agree with
them. So, let's speak to the vote. Bridget's been keeping it back, yeah? Can we vote? Who's happy with the sentence as it is, with the amendments at the bottom that will say that we need more work done? Who wants to drop it? Please, can we just move on now? Or is there a compromise? Please, can you help us? I can't come up with a compromise. Yeah, but okay, please, they're not agreeing, right? Okay. Fine, so we move on. What's wrong? We must be human. We're not near 1 o'clock anyway. This is just a brainstorming session. So follow the vote on this thing after we thought about it further. Okay, so SARB. Right, SARB. Okay, are there things that members remember we agreed to that they would like to add beyond what the draft of Bridget has communicated here with 8 major points? And I'm going to say a sub-point, honestly. Are there things that we agreed to that we are not included? Well, maybe there's not time to think about it. Here again, here there's no compulsion. On the Friday issue, because it went out on Friday, we said we'll send it to a training, right? But if members can find the time and be kind enough to Bridget and me, we would like, by let's say, 5-6 p.m. today for you to comment and check in. In the meantime, Bridget, will you make a change and send them to me? I'll look at them and then we will try to get it out to you also as soon as we can. But not later than, say, 6 p.m. if possible, right? But tomorrow's meeting will be easier because we've gone through this thing already, informally. Is there anything else regarding the report that people want to raise?
Chair, can I just say something on the South African Reserve Bank and the bank supervision report that's due in January? It was the topical issue finance in the financial sector for the last 3 months, and certainly the banks. I know the report is coming out in January, and then we'll have a very informed decision. But certainly, when it was a catastrophe, as politicians, and we didn't have an official position on this. I really think that the Reserve Bank has done a little bit better in terms of providing a report earlier, because they were in the supervision, they do their oversight, they know exactly what's going on, and now to do an assessment that, you know, I think it is prolonged our political activity. And I would somehow, if we could put that in the report, I would appreciate it very much. I know it's a complex thing how the Action Bank imposed and the effect on Ellerines. I mean, they closed 1,200 stores, there's over 200 stores to be left over in Ellerines, etc., etc. But it has a huge implication in the financial sector. And as politicians, we were never informed. We had an informal briefing by the governor, which we appreciate, a confidential briefing. And of course, we couldn't react on that in the media. But somehow, I think we were left in the lurch in terms of a formal presentation that we could have made our comments, advise how we feel about the implosion, what should have been done in terms of the oversight. And then a report only to be furnished in January. I think it is acceptable, but it's very much too late. So that's my thoughts on here.
The point is making, from what I can tell, is this claim. Basically, that we as a committee should have had a briefing on the matter, and we should have been giving our own position as a committee on the matter. You will recall this was discussed late by yourself, Odeon. The committee of the majority decided that at this stage, given the sensitivities of the intervention by the Reserve Bank, and given that it's too early to draw any major lesson, it would be inappropriate for us to discuss it. It's too sensitive, and in fact, we did confer with National Treasury, and they told us, look, can you please give us some space, because there's some very sensitive matters. We did discuss it. By the way, could we just get minutes up more, you know, because so that we don't cover the same ground over and over again. So we, here we come back to you. We did discuss the matter. We took a decision, I think, much to your unhappiness, that we will not consider it, right? Now, you're reading it, but it's not relevant to the report, to make a general point. Nicolae, do you want to respond to it?
No, Chair. It was on something else.
Sure.
Chair, really, this thing, it comes back as we discussed it yesterday. There was happiness among all of us. Yeah, there was happiness. We were all happy. To say, let's give them space. Let's give them space, I mean, to... No, there was no disagreement on this issue.
I'm not happy anymore. I'm really not happy.
I'm supposed to know what's making you not happy now. Have you? I'm not happy now.
Just let me just flag it in terms of our oversight responsibility. The topical issue in the media up to now for months now was that the whole catastrophe with regards to the African Bank was entirely predictable. And we didn't make any political comments with regards to what we expect in terms of the oversight from the banking, whether the intervention was late too early or what happened there. We have to wait for this report, which is a bit late in the day. And I would like to advise within the future that we should preserve our position in terms of a confidentiality, I would say, imposed on us with regards to if we look at the Reserve Bank and we get that direction that no, we can't say anything on it. Because people just think that we're useless. We sit out there, there's no comments from us, there's no recommendation, and we are very well briefed in terms of what happened in terms of the good bank, the bad bank, etc. But none of the committee members was ever vocal on this, and I think it was a massive opportunity for the committee to step out of our oversight. If we were all happy with that, we were all, I think, confined to the agreement that it should be confidential. But it poses a serious question in terms of what we'll do in the future when we were asked to consider something as confidential. Then to put up our hands and say this is not confidential, needs to be in the public domain, we are not happy with the oversight of the Reserve Bank, specifically then. But apart from that, has been dealing with oversight, that will only present a report now in January. So that my personal view of concern.
Chair,
yeah,
I think... When we met with the Reserve Bank, we had an agreement that we are getting a very confidential briefing. That's the first point. We agreed in principle that what is being discussed there will not be taken outside. All of us agreed. We agreed.
we were given an opportunity to engage the South African Reserve Bank on their intervention, and we are allowed to ask any question so that we can be clear in our minds in an event that we said we saw that there was something untoward. But the impression I had, and I'm subjected to correction here by yourself and anybody else, was that we were all agreeing that the intervention was necessary and was correct. I did not have any impression from that meeting that if we do not speak out, we will not be exercising our oversight role. That's why we engaged them. I even remember some of the questions I asked was that what measures would be put in place to oversee that this matter does not happen. The deputy governor was the one who responded, responded to me to say that in that context, they will not allow this institution to run on their own without overseeing them. He even said they would put a program. And I followed up by saying, we need 3 months. He said yes. We'll tell you how we'll do it. Now I'm going to pay for the indulgence of members that the sensitivity in the interest of the country should be taken into consideration so that we do not find ourselves playing politics about what is being seen out there. We have very negative rating agencies that are not playing an important part. And the governor, that's why I even said, will you consider becoming a rating agency in your own right for every time? So we need to decide what we want to do in the interest of the country. And I thought we were right at some point, and it was good.
Thank you, Chief. I don't think there's any confusion. I think it's very clear we always see Reserve Bank Governor. We all are aware of sensitivity regarding what happened, etc. So we are all on sides on that. There's no confusion on that. I think what my colleague is saying is that he would like to see some kind of discussion at some point regarding this matter, specifically regarding oversight, because the Twin Peaks model is looming somewhere, we're not quite sure where it is, etc. So we do need to make progress on it. We are mindful of the fact that there are rating agencies watching us very, very carefully at the moment. And that the last thing we want to see is downgrade. That is the last thing we want to see. That's the point he's making. Thanks, Jess.
I think we agree on that one. And I'm going to suggest that we wait for the 26 more to discuss. And at that point, we'll then draw sense. And if we feel that it's not adequate, we can take from there. So that we should not hasten the interventions that we want to make. I think on this one, we all agree. We want to see an oversight responsibility. The issue is that how part of it, not necessarily whether it's from cause, change cause in the end. So when it is time, because it's not the only one that should exceed, there's also the Davis report that at some point we'll have our eyes and hands on and Tatara engagement, then we take it from there. But I know you say it's too quick. I don't know.
Amount of work, but then members should also, let me switch this off.
Agreed, then we should require it. We will let that people kind of close it. In fact, I've just told you now, we're using all Friday days for the program in Norway. I think people realize the implications for that.
Well, the commitment to make. So I'm based in Cape Town, Father, that's how are you. So they report I think easier. I've got my Twitter. It's very easy for me. It's other members that have got, but also have other commitments. And Fridays, I allocate dealing with the administrative load. But that's fine. Let's deal with this like this, right? See, I don't think there's a huge gap, actually. Firstly, we must agree, there are two separate issues. The one is the briefing we got from the Reserve Bank Governor, and the other is whether the committee should or shouldn't, at what time, have had a briefing. On the matter of the Reserve Bank Governor, I don't know enough about what else in the world. How would you manage the thing? When it comes to such confidential issues, they will brief parliamentarians, which are not obliged to do. And if they came to a public hearing, they will sanitize it, because profits are going to get you to. So there are terms on which we go to Reserve Bank Governor's office. And if we don't observe the terms, then we'll have a meeting with them. But it will be a sanitized version, because they were very frank with us. But they're looking to us also to to see what we think, you know, to give them ideas from our vantage. We may not have the technical expertise that some of them do, or some of us may not, but they are politicians, and you know, we've got a feel for what's happening, right? So I think we should remain with this view. I don't know if we can discuss this at some other forum, maybe in our strategy workshop, I think the next day, but we will not get proper, productive, effective briefings of the Reserve Bank Governor if we do not interpret those terms, right? So I think we all agree on that. Secondly, I think all of us, whatever party we're in, we're concerned about sovereign ratings and other, you know, other credit agencies are doing and so on, and so any of us, right? I'll tell you where I was personally. See, personally, I felt that we shouldn't be reckless, right? We don't know enough about the issues. It's too sensitive at time. So when the majority said, and I agreed, that we postponed this thing, I thought it was the most sober, pragmatic thing to do. I think I will stop David from now on reflection. In fact, I agree with both Sandy and Ant. In fact, as they spoke, it struck me actually there was, like, on your side, like, an understanding. But maybe 2 months down the road, you have changed your view, which is fine, you're entitled to it, right? But he's right about the happiness, he's also right about the things he said. As he spoke, I remember she said those things. So in short, I think let's separate the two issues. I personally think that in some senses, David, you are right. Ideally, we should have had a briefing given the enormous gravity of the situation and given in particular the impact it will have on the poor and the disadvantaged. This is African Bank after all, who are its clients, if you like, right? Agreed. However, that's a general point to make. In the specific circumstances of September, was it September 2014? I think we took the right decision. However, if you were saying that based on that experience, we need to actually mull over and reflect on what we should do if a similar situation, hopefully won't ever happen, were to recur, how would we deal with that matter? That, I think, is a valuable point to make. I don't know the answer, but the correct question to pose. But I think we're on the same page, ultimately. I'm told now by Alan that if he could wait, Alan, what is that? Edgar Jenkins is coming. I don't know who asked him to come, but since you asked him to come, what it is, he's about to come here to explain to us this thing about the APP. Now, I didn't ask. I'm just told now he's coming. Use it. I said that Bridget and I would talk to him outside this meeting. So, if he's not here in the next 2 minutes, can't we just hold a meeting to a halt? Because what are you going to say to you except what he says to us? There's no ideological issue here. It's a factual one. Does the committee adopt it? Is it meant to be tabled in the House? Does it mean that anybody changing the APP executive function can actually not do so until we agree as a parliamentary committee? That's all. If you want to put it in writing and give you his answers, do you really want to sit there? No. In that case, can't I ask the AC to stay behind for a few minutes? Let's take the lady on the matter. Do you really want to stay here? That's the question.
Chair, I had my hand up
before. Oh, yes, that sorry, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Among the issues that I raised when I was commenting on the report, on the quarterly expenditure performance, I raised the issue that maybe it would be better for us to have percentages, because we know that we expect the department or the institution to spend 25% of their budget a quarter, and maybe to also indicate in the previous financial year, in the first quarter, this is how much they spent vis-a-vis what they spent in this financial year, first quarter, so that we are able to see whether there's an improvement or not. It's just a format that I think it can work, because it went for us in Malawi. We were able to check down.
The Malawi, we've never had quarterly reports, is what you said, right? Before. Yeah. So committee members, just be aware, we've not had quarterly reports in this committee before, right? Now we're doing it. Now, so I can't ask Bridget the question. Okay, in other committees, how do they look at quarterly reports? What do they ask of the executive responsibility? Is that what's normally done?
I think that other committees do. For example, I know trade and industry, it depends on which year. Trade and industry look at their quarterly reports every quarter. But what I normally do is that I normally prepare quarterly reports for the appropriations committee, for the new committee on appropriations, and for the select committee for the provincial expenditure. But I have, because I've been attending quite a few meetings of the committee, I have realized that perhaps what I could do for this committee is just to prepare the national treasury report specifically for this committee, so that the committee can track
how Treasury is spending. I think that is the head project that I should do for the committee.
What is the role of the Appropriations Committee and the Standing Committee on Finance on 2020? What is the relevant, respective roles of Appropriations and Finance in respect of monitoring the quality performance of National Treasury? We're talking about, obviously, our own ministry, not the spending of government as a whole, obviously, right? Now, what is the role of Appropriations and Finance?
Appropriations monitors the consolidated budget, which would be the 1 trillion that is allocated to, and you monitor the, your department and its entities only. So when, if they call treasury into account, it would be if treasury is spending or if it's not spending well in terms of their budget management, violence and things. But there is no overlap. They call and they oversee all departments and all spheres of government.
The format of the quarterly report and the financial spending, right? Is that format determined in some sort of regulation of the PFMA, or who determines the format? Each department determines their own format, surely not.
I think Treasury has templates. So Treasury has templates that all departments have to report by.
I'm coming to time to say, in other words, the point Dicky Lady is making about the reporting format, that is already determined in terms of the PFMA. Presumably that's how they do it in terms of the PFMA. Then they'll have to do it in those terms. They're going for us to say in the report. Yeah, they have to do it in those terms. Okay. Now that's agreed, clearly. It's staying in the format. If they don't do it, we'll say, you're the people who have determined the format. Why aren't you abiding by your own regulation or whatever? Done?
Just a comment. When I was chosen defense, I introduced that quarterly report when the mechanism was never in parliament. Why? Because AMSCO was not performing very well. So we needed to bring it to now. So we started with it, and we argued from a legal point of view, but we argued from moral and oversight point of view. You cannot always use a legal argument when there's a moral and an oversight responsibility. So we started with AMSCO. We brought them here, and we were using the same template that the Appropriations Committee was, because the Appropriations Committee gets quarterly reports, one of them. Actually, we used to have a rapport with the Appropriations so that they could advise us, because it was not easy to bring the Auditor General's staff all the time to Parliament to tell them about the management letters they were sending to departments on a regular basis because of the financial implications. Therefore, we were closer to the Appropriations because they would just copy what they have and get a presentation, and then voila. Because sometimes, even if you bring the relevant institution, it might mislead you if you don't have the relevant documentation and the understanding on how to interpret, because it's quite huge volumes of documents. So now that we've got capacity in Parliament, at that time we did not even have it. So it was very few of us who did public finance. Well, I was lucky because I did it. And we were able to look at this. So it's very easy now that we have content advisors that they can be a specific thing. We don't need those involved to say we're checking your performance, especially performance, not only the financial statements, but looking at whether what was said in the statements are implemented. That's why there's nothing wrong with giving us a program. But the issue is what you do with that, because sometimes as politicians get naughty. When the executive gives us their program, we think that we've got a mandate to run around in the public about such things. So there should also be an element of responsibility. So when we do it behind closed doors. Yes, honest.
Thank you, Chair. Just to add on what the honourable member just said about the... because in the accountability literature, there's various documents to say when is the oversight important. Is it during the process or at the end? Because when you give quarterly reports, it allows the committee to influence the outcomes of the waiting for the end of the report, which in argument is becoming less meaningful than doing it in the year. So there is argument it's very important to have continuous return as opposed to waiting to the end of the year. Yes, there is an intervention when it's needed. On a separate point, I've been hearing the Chair has been emphasizing the role that the functions that we've been given to to the PDOs, and that's to state on MPs and the wages. We've read that in formal writing as soon as possible, because you know, at the moment, you know, it's just still in the air and it's not clear what exactly is going on to the PDO. So please, members, wherever you can, I think did suggest last week that they must follow up the points to Alan and get formal discussion and put out to the directors of. Thanks.
The very day that we had a meeting, I did report to you this. I spoke to the chairperson of Public Enterprises, and she agreed in principle. And I have to write a letter. I said earlier I'll write a letter today. She agreed in principle. She said, look, they obviously have to be involved, right? Particularly, we asked members by yesterday, 5 o'clock, to submit their comments on what should constitute terms of reference for the PBO. Did we get anything? Can we expand that a bit? Because we have to give the SOE committee.
Yes.
Publicly to table it in their committee. So I think we should expand that on next Wednesday or something like that. You can just send a note out, maybe say by next Wednesday. And I will do the letter thing. Then we will write to you. And then on a public sector wage bill, that's a tough one. Apart from you guys opened your mouth, say, right? So you must be voiced by your own guitar. So you said, we will just repeat the word you said and say, like, when you do the research project. That too. That we can do now. I can write a letter tomorrow morning. Can you harass me to do it? Right? Okay. So tomorrow morning you get a letter, say by noon tomorrow, by the end of committee sitting, which will say, but members will have maybe up till Friday or something, if they've got any views to offer on what the PBO should do. Now, honestly, it doesn't matter that you get started with your projects. Right? Any time, if any member feels they've got ideas in respect to what you should do on either of those two projects, they'll send it to Adam, and then we will process it. Okay. I would say that thank you very much. Can we and ANC comrades just meet for, I don't know why I'm looking at you. ANC comrades just meet for a little while, please. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. No, we're going to private. That can't be a diplomacy. Now, please, you don't represent, otherwise you're ANC comrades, right? You're in India. I'm cheap. Okay, can you start very quickly, Jess?